It's a joy and a delight for me to be here, an honor for me to be here to share the Word of God this morning. I was a student here some 19 years ago, so you roughly know how old I am. it's a joy to be back, to see a lot of young students, even a committed student, ready. Be equipped to serve the Lord. Praise God for all of you. Yeah, and I also know some of you through our convention, Baptist convention interaction. Jael, right? Pastor David. next up, Pastor David. David Koh. see, prophecy coming. Yeah, so I also thank PTS for inviting me. President Dr. Ho. So nice to meet him, and Dr. Fong, my favorite lecturer. this is consistent. I always say that. Not only here now. Okay, praise God. Yeah. So today my topic. I was just thinking. I'm sure all of you here answered the call to be here, to be equipped, so that you can serve the Lord right in His harvest field, to in His kingdom. That's why I thought today it'll be good for us to think about. This theme, right? The task that is given to us, the task that is given to all of us, Christian. So, you know, our convention, Baptist convention, we have this theme, right? This vision, right? Unite to finish the task. How many of you have heard of this before? Wow, very good, huh? Okay, so after today, everybody have heard of this, okay? Yeah, okay, so, I press it, correct? Yeah, so unite to finish the task. Okay, it's a very nice tagline, right? Unite to finish the task. Okay, but the thing is, we need first of all to understand what is the task, right? We need to know what task, right? And then how to unite, okay? Unite over what if you do not know the task, correct? And that's the saying, no clarity, no unity. Okay, you cannot be united, but there's no clarity. Don't know where we're heading, right? Everybody moving in different directions. So it's important for us to know, therefore, the task, right? If there's clarity, there will be unity, right? Okay, so the task is urgent, all right? And then we are to finish the task. Well, some people was telling me, they are quite, not very sure whether we can finish the task or not. The task is so huge. Huge, right? And true, right? It's true. Only God would know when it can be finished, right? But He wants us to finish, right? But the outcome is God's prerogative, right? But we are to, faithfully, moving the direction, completing whatever God has given to us in our generation, in our season, right? So, and I hope to share this morning with all of us that this task, huge as it is, but our God is almighty, okay? And He can finish, and it will finish. All right. So let's think together with me in this topic. So this morning, I hope to clarify the task, what this task is, right? And then to understand the urgency. Okay, this task is urgent. All right. And then I also want to let all of us know that the task can be finished. The task can be finished, okay, for sure, okay. So let's first go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for calling us, Lord, to be your children, to be your servant, to serve you. And Lord, we pray that this morning you speak to all of us here. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our guide as we commit this time into your hand. Speak to your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to the first part. Okay, what is the task? Let's clarify this. All right, let's clarify this. So, what is the task? I'm sure even as I ask this question, your mind has been start thinking already. Maybe it's this, some of you opinion is that. So let's get it clear. All right. Recall that our Lord Jesus Christ, when He first called His disciples, 12 of them. He spent the whole night praying. Remember, Jesus Christ spent the whole night praying. You know, and then the next day he appointed 12 disciples. Okay, and he appointed them to be apostles. All right? Okay. You know what did Jesus said to them up front? Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Okay, can one of you read this text for us? Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, loud and clear.
And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Amen. Thanks, brother, for reading the word. So Jesus, when he called his 12 disciples, 12 apostles, appointed them, the first thing up front, he tell them is what? Come follow me, right? Come follow me so that I can make you rich. Is it? No, right? Come follow me so that I can make you a better you. No, he said up front, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So Jesus Christ has a desire, okay, has a plan for the disciple. He wants to make them fishers of men. And today, Jesus Christ, likewise, he wants to make us fishers of men. Right? So to be there, what does fishermen do? Fish, right? So fisher of men, what we do? Also fish, fish of men, right? Into the kingdom, right? So other passages, like Mark chapter 16, Jesus Christ said, preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. And then the famous verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said again, right? Be my witnesses, you will be my witnesses. Okay, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. So it's very clear. Okay, the most famous, most clear command is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Right? So what it says? Okay, everybody read together. Turn to the Bible, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. All different versions. You all got the PTS version. Okay, Bible version, let's read it together. Slowly and clearly. One, two, go. Therefore, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age. So it's very clear. As seminary student, all of us know this verse by heart. Right? So again, Jesus is telling us to go make disciples, all nations, right? Teaching them to obey, right? So clearly, there is a command. There is a plan for all of us. And Jesus, he said it up front. You will be fisher of men. You will go, be my witness. Preach the good news, right? Make disciples. So clearly, this is a task given to all of us. Okay, the task is what we call the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission is not in the Bible, right? But we term it, okay, the last command of Jesus, okay, the Great Commission. So this is our task, become our task. His command, it become our task, right? So this is the task. Okay. So what is the task? To carry out the Great Commission, okay? A last command by our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he ascended back to heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand side of God, the Almighty. But this is his command, okay, before he ascended, right? You check the scriptures. Did Jesus say anything after that? No. After he said this, given this command, right, he went straight up to heaven. Right? So this is his last command, right? And it is not a request. Jesus did not say, maybe you can help. Maybe, suggest. It's not a great suggestion, right? It's a great commission. It's a command, right? And it's also not something for us to think about, consider. Option one, option two, got choice, right? It just tells us plainly, go and make disciples. You are my witnesses. And then he went, right? Of course, in the book of Acts, he also tells them to wait, right? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, but some of you may be thinking that, but Pastor, I mean, isn't Jesus give us many commands? This is not the only command, correct? Correct, you agree? There are a lot of commands given by Jesus in the New Testament. Some scholars say it's about 49, 50 commands, right? But This all these commands given by the Lord Jesus Christ is subsumed under this Great Commission. Because in the Great Commission, Jesus said what? Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. All the commands, right? It's under the Great Commission. Okay, we are to teach them to obey everything that he has commanded us. Right? So this is the last command. Okay, the rest of the command, okay, is subsumed under this command. Right? Teaching them to obey everything. So this is the command for us to put our faith in action. Alright. So you notice that this command was actually Jesus' last command, last word, okay, to the disciples. Alright. I have emphasized this because last word is always very important. Agree with me? The last word, right? Usually, you know, in a deathbed, the last word of the grandparents, the parents, very important. Right? They will save the last breath when the children all gathered, and then he will probably say something very, in his heart, close his heart, something important. Like, take care of your parents, take care of your mother, something like that, take care of your brother, something very close to the heart. Right? Imagine on the deathbed, all right, the grandparents, all the children gather around him. He struggled with all his energy to say the last word. And the grandparents said, the grandfather said, the weather is very good. It's impossible, right? He's wasting his breath. Wasting his last breath, saying something is non-essential at all. Right? He will say something very, close to your heart. So Jesus said this to his disciples, very close to his heart. Go and make disciples. You are my witnesses. Right? You are fishers of men. This is very close to his heart. And therefore, the last command of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be taken seriously, and not to be taken lightly, not to be taken casually. Okay? And it should be the task that all of us engage in, right? With top priority, top urgency. Amen? Right. Good. Praise the Lord. Y'all seems to be very attentive. Very good. Okay, now we know the what already, right? So what's the task? Right, the Great Commission. Right, we know the task. Very clearly Jesus said, and he repeated, right, throughout his teaching, he had been telling, he's been role modeling, to be fisher men, training them, send them 2 by 2, the 72, right? On the job training. And then before he go back, okay, final time, remind them, go and make disciples, right? So we understand what is the what, and now the how. Okay, how? How is the task to be carried out? How is the task to be done? Okay, our Lord Jesus Christ, he also gave us the how. Okay, he said the what, and now he has given us the blueprint, the how. Okay, not only that, he even given us the where to, the scope. Okay, let's take a look. The what. Okay, what we have covered, right? So he said go as his witnesses, right? To make disciples and make disciples, right? Witness and make disciples. That is the what. Okay? And then the how. How? How to do this? How? By baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I commanded. That's the how. So in the how, we suppose teach people this. Okay, and baptize them, right? And then the where. Where? Singapore only? India only? No, right? It's more than that, right? Of all nations. To all nations. And the Greek word nation, okay? The Greek word is ethnic, okay? Ethnic group, okay? To all the nations, the ethnic group within that nations. Okay? Everybody. Basically, yes, everybody. Every tribes, right? And the scope is where? Jerusalem. Okay, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. That is the scope. He even gave us the where, right? And no excuse, okay? Samaria, he even mentioned Samaria. Why? Because the Jew and Samaritan don't mix. So you don't even spell out this, they probably will skip Samaritans. Correct, do everything there. Like us, we probably like to go to Japan. Let's all go to Japan, Switzerland, Europe. But there are countries, it covered all. Okay, it covered all, right? So the scope is given even to us. So there is so much clarity. Amen. So now do we all know? Okay, so the Great Commission, therefore, is given to us very clearly. Okay, so to think that the Great Commission means evangelism only, okay, is a great misunderstanding to the common. Many of us think that the Great Commission, just witnessing evangelism. Okay? But it's incomplete. Alright? And many Christians just stop at evangelism. Alright? Or just stop at witnessing. After that, they are all happy already. KPI fulfilled. Right? But the sad thing is many have not even started. Okay? That is this disobedient. Okay? It's not misunderstanding, but it's disobedient. Some have not even started. Alright? So, to carry out the command successfully require both. Okay? The task is very clear. Both. Okay? Evangelism and disciple making. Alright? Disciple making. Okay? Evangelism must always follow up with disciple making. Alright? And then disciple making must begin with evangelism. Okay? If there's no evangelism, who do we disciple? Correct? So, evangelism, disciple making, okay, both hand in hand. Evangelism is the first step, right? First step, right? And then disciple making, you take a longer time, right? Until the converts become disciples. And then from disciple, they become disciple maker. So it's a lifelong process, right? It's a lifelong process till he comes. That's why Jesus said, occupied till he comes. Okay, we are supposed to be occupied with this task till he come. Alright? And then teaching others to obey his other commands. Right? So evangelism without discipleship, or discipleship without evangelism, will result in two outcomes. You want to know what is it? Okay, they will result in these two outcomes. Number one, backsliding. Okay. Evangelism without disciple making is incomplete. Okay, it only produces converts. Converts, right? So converts, if they do not mature as disciples, what happened? Paul described them. Spiritual infant. They will just remain as infant. Converts. Right? And then over time, spiritual infants will slowly backslide if you don't disciple them. Right? That is exactly what we have seen in many parts of the world. Right, you go to some village. I remember a recent trip to Batam. Okay, one of the co-worker there mentioned to us in the mission team. He say some of the village people was complaining to her. Hey, how come this Christian smoke? Like no different from the rest. Drink at night. No different. But you go to church. The village religious complained to her. She reflected to us. So that is this scenario. They may come to church, they may have accepted Christ 30 years ago, but there's no change, no transformation in their life. They remain spiritual infant, and worse, over time, they go back to be like the world. That's why people say, hey, Christian, like that one, they are not disciples, right? They just go to church, okay? Maybe occasionally, right? So this is the first likely outcome. The second one is what? Okay. Become lukewarmers, okay? No disciples to make, okay, if there's no evangelism. Okay, if there's no evangelism, how? They disciple the same group over and over again, right? So it's like preaching to the choir over and over again, right? That's why we need to reach out, right? Evangelism, bring people, hear the gospel, right? And then you disciple them. If not, it will be just over and over again, go deeper and deeper. I'm not saying Bible study is not important, it's part of discipleship. But if there's no converts, we are just preaching to one another over and over again. That's why you see a lot of Christians are not interested. I know this already. Pastor, you tell me, I know that. No, they're not interested. Right? So there's these two possible outcomes. They backslide or become lukewarm. Because I know all this already. Right? We've been preaching to the choir. And then over time, become overtrained, overfed. So Paul said what? our head become to swell, right? Knowledge puff up, right? We become fat, and no spiritual exercise, right? So this is not what our Lord Jesus Christ want us to be, right? He want us to be fisher of men, his witnesses, and to make disciples, right? So that's the task, all right? So if you don't execute this, okay, we can either see there's no converts, okay, and then you will probably see the same old choir, you know, has been trained over and over again, and then over time people backslide, people become lukewarm, and lukewarm is very terrible, okay, to be a very terrible state to be in. Our Lord Jesus Christ say in the book of Revelation, he spit them up, okay, lukewarm Christian, it's a very horrible condition to be in, right? So make disciples, not just converts. You agree with me, right? The violin, Amen. All right. So can we read this together? One, two, go. The Great Commission is therefore to be understood as wherever you go, evangelize, witness, and make disciples. Amen. So this to know this and to execute this will make a difference in our lives. Okay. Today, that explains why many Christians, as a pastor, they come to me, they feel very, the lack of experiencing God. They don't. They just come to church, very mechanically, follow the parents and things like that. They don't feel the excitement, right? And many Christians have no joy, Look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Peter, wow, they're so full of joy, so of life, right? Even in prison also, they can sing praise. You remember Apostle Paul, right? He go for his mission trip, sharing the good news, and sent to prison, persecuted. He sing praises in the prison, right? The prison officer also blur. How come they're so happy? And then one of the jailer become a convert, become a follower of Christ. So there's full of joy and excitement. And this is what disciples' life supposed to be. Our life as Christians supposed to be very, very joy, very exciting, because we have the good news. Good news, not bad news. It should be full of life, excitement, and eagerness to share this good news. Alright? But today, a lot of Christians, like, they have bad news. See them like, not excited. And some look like Peter Gok. You go to church, like Peter Gok, very bitter, right? Some like sour grapes, right? Sour salt, right? Very sour. Some even worse, papaya, right? Why? The face very long. Long face. And worse. Some like durian, right? Full of spikes. People see you, so, full of spikes. So, no, that's not what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to really have the fruit of the Spirit, full of joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. And because we have the gospel. Right? And we have to go and share with excitement, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so we clarify the task. And now we want to understand its urgency. Okay, let me ask all of you, what is one thing that all of us in Christian will not do in heaven when we get to heaven? What is something that we won't do in heaven? Is it worship? No, worship, we will worship the our King of Kings eternally, right? We will worship, we are created to worship the King of Kings. How about Bible study? Studying. Some people say, oh, go heaven, no need to study. Is it true? Is it true? You look at a galaxy, you just take a look at the Milky Way, okay? The Northern Light, wow, so amazing. So many things to study, so many things to learn in this creation. We only know a little bit only. There's so much thing to learn. So I believe in heaven there will be a lot of studying, discovering of God's creation, right? The wonderful things of God. So studying, yes, Bible study, maybe the word, there will be new revelation in heaven. There will be ongoing study, right? And so what is the one thing they won't do? Evangelism, okay? Okay, in heaven, we will not evangelize. Because everybody will have tasted the good news, our good Lord Jesus Christ. right? All of us will not be evangelism. There's no evangelism department, all right, in heaven. Huh? Mission chairman also no more, right? Right? There's no need already, right? We will all be there, right? Worshipping the King of Kings, correct? So, the urgency, okay? So there is urgency, therefore, while we are here. While we're here on earth, there is this urgency to share the good news, all right? So that more people can come to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So there's urgency. And I believe strongly the reason why all of us are here today on this earth. Okay, it makes sense, right? If let's say we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we are saved. Okay, the logical thing is we go straight to heaven, right? We already have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And why are we here? Look at the world today, well, this war, that war, that this crime, that murder. No, recently, a lot of murder case. Right, you all saw the YouTube. Charlie Kurt, and then the Ukraine lady on the MRT, and then there's a beheading by the Indian nationals. One after another, very close. And then another shooting case. So, I mean, that's in the West, but here also, likewise, there's always crime, always sadness, right? If you look at the newspaper, sometimes I'd rather not to look. Lost my appetite after reading, correct or not? So there's a lot of sadness here, but why we are here? If Jesus Christ has cleansed our sin, redeemed us, we should be in heaven, right? Correct or not? Then we don't have to worry about cholesterol, this thing in heaven, correct or not? All the food we want to eat, we eat, correct? Now we, well, this one cannot eat, that one cannot eat. joke aside, but there is a reason, right, why we are still here. Because we have a task. And the task is already spelled out clearly. Christ still wants us to carry this task. Until he, it's time for us to be promoted, to go back, right? But meanwhile, while we're still here, we have this task to do. And God see in us the faithfulness to carry out this task. So there is urgency, okay? And of course, today the urgency is even more, right? We are seeing all these things happening in the world, correct or not? The Ukraine war is still ongoing, right? And then the economical crisis, we very uncertain, right? Today, if you do some conversation, casual conversation, you realize the job market is not very good, right? And then pandemic, we just over, all of us experience this pandemic, and it's just over. The Middle East crisis, when is it going to end, right? Therefore, the Bible in Psalms remind us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There is always chaos, tension over there. South China Sea. Any Philippine student here? There's some tension. Right? Recently, the two China ship langa each other. Right? Then environment crisis, right? Today we see pollution, we see earthquakes getting frequent, getting intensified also. And all that we are seeing, the list can go on. No? And this, our Lord Jesus Christ has already said in 2,000 years ago, okay, in Matthew 24-25, the Oliver Discourse, right, he already mentioned, these are the things that will come. Okay, he described it as birth pangs, okay, like a woman going ready to be delivered, the pain increase, and the frequency increase, birth pangs. Right, today we are seeing all this, okay, indicating that the time is getting shorter and shorter of his return, right? So there's a great urgency. Today there are many people who are still lost, many people who still haven't heard of Jesus Christ. Today we studied those mission missiologists they have studied, okay? There are a lot of still 60 over unreached people group, unreached people group, right? Correct, unreached people's group. Okay, it's not 6,000. I say wrongly, 6,000 over unreached people's group. Okay, just in Indonesia, they have over 40 over unreached people currently. But thanks be to God, because churches rising up. Okay, they really send work, concerted effort to reach the unreached people's group. So the latest that we hear from the convention in Indonesia, okay, the numbers have dropped to 28, from 40 something to 28. So we're making progress, right? People are reaching out to the unreached, but it's not easy. Okay, that's why they call unreached, unengaged. Very hard to reach them, right? Oh. So there are still a lot of lost people, and there are many undiscipled Christians, right? So there's urgency in this task. So no wonder Jesus said, right, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Okay, very few are involved, right, in seeking the lost, right? They thought this is a job of a missionary. They thought this is a job of a pastor, right, the clergy, right? That's why I hire a pastor, you know, to do the job. You know, they just come to attend service on Sunday. But the Great Commission clearly said, you know, not safe to just come to church and attend service, right? If we come to church and attend service, I think Jesus Christ will bring us home earlier. From there, every day, we'll be worshiping the Lord. So we have a task to do, right? And it's urgent. Okay? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, right? So it's urgent. So let all of us involve. Jesus Christ is calling his church. Jesus Christ is calling you and I today. Okay, let's be committed to the primary task of witnessing and making disciples. All right, and I hope we can see today that what I'm trying to bring across is that it's not enough just to come to know Jesus Christ personally. It's not enough. It's not enough just to attend church just once a week, 2.5 hours, right? It's more than that, all right? We are to become disciples. And become disciples itself is also not enough. We have to become disciples who can make disciples. A lot of people just stop at, I'm a disciple already. But they forget the task is actually for them to make disciples. All right? So the command has to be very clear. It's for the church, it's for you and I. Right? To go and make disciples. Okay? Well, the Chinese side is finishing it. Am I supposed to finish now? Supposed to finish now? Okay. All right, last part, right? Okay. That's why I hear the side means I know already. Okay. But they start earlier, come on. Okay. So this is the last part already, okay? Last part. Okay. People say, can it be finished? A lot of people tell me it can be finished. But not in our generation. Not in our generation. Maybe in the next generation, not ours. After all, it's 2,000 years since Christ left, right? 2,000 years have passed us by, right? Can it be finished? Actually, if you think about it, Jesus Christ gave us the formula, gave us the blueprint to go and make disciples, and he expects it to be finished, and it can be, all right? But it was slowed down, right? We know the first century Christian disciples, they actually made the world upside down with the gospel, you know that? The first century Christian, right? The world, the gospel is spreading, right? Everywhere, right? But Satan also do his work, okay? During the Dark Ages, the period we call Dark Ages, the work has stopped or hindered, all right? But thanks be to God, he raised up missionary again in the 19th century. And the father of mission, we know is William Kelly. He's a Baptist. He's a Baptist. So, it can't come again. But again, it slowed down during the period of enlightenment. A lot of people challenge intellectual humanism. All this, you see, the Satan is also doing his work to hinder the gospel, hinder the disciple making. So today, this is where we are today. But if we can come together, understand the task with clarity, okay, knowing its urgency, staying united and focused, we can. Okay, see this clip that I want to share with you all. Okay, can you play the clip? Okay, you will see that it can be done. Okay, it's possible.
Ever wondered why Jesus' last command to his committed followers was to make disciples of all nations? Have you ever wondered what it would look like if Christ's most committed followers today actually carried forth that command according to the standards set forth in the New Testament by Christ and the 12? If an evangelist were to reach 1,000 people a day for Christ in a frozen population rate, can you imagine how long it would take to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Just over 15,000 years. And imagine the spiritual maturity of these new converts, most of whom receive no real follow-up or discipleship and end up never reaching their full potential in Christ. However, if a committed follower of Christ, we'll call him Paul, were to disciple a new believer for 1 year, we'll call him Timothy. To the extent that Timothy matures in Christ until he is able to disciple another. For as Luke 6:40 says, the student will become like his teacher. So then, in year two, Timothy has become a discipler himself and takes on his first student, while Paul takes on another student. By the third year, our Paul is discipling his third student, while our Timothy is discipling his second student, and our newest student is now able to make disciples as well. If the cycle is not broken, a spiritual downline is created which multiplies to the ends of the earth. Even at an accurate and growing population rate, do you know how long it would take in such a scenario to reach the entire world for Jesus Christ? Just under 37 years. And now imagine the spiritual maturity of these believers, all of whom have been equipped to both be and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is why Christ's last command to his followers is not to make converts, but to make disciples of all nations.
Amen. Exciting, right? And it's just one person. Of course, in the ideal situation, right? But one person, 37 years. Imagine collectively, we are making disciples. Okay? Indonesian church, you know, conversion, they're making disciples. Philippines, they're making disciples. India, they're making disciples. It's less than 37 years. If we all can be united and stay focused, the task can be finished. Right? Amen? So, brothers and sisters, future pastors, missionaries, let's stay united. Okay? Let's stay focused in this task that Christ has given to us. Go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. And Jesus Christ promised that he will be with us to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we give thanks to you for saving us. We possess this good news, the greatest news. Lord, therefore help us, Lord, to go and share it, go and witness it, and go and make disciples. Lord, we pray that you speak to us this morning. Unite our heart so that together, Lord, we can carry out this task that you have given to us, to your glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.